open with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Several weeks ago, I gave part one to this message on one of the names of God's children within the Word of God. And I want to give you part two to this message tonight and hopefully get through the remainder of this message. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse number 13. The Word of God says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Now, if you mark your Bible, I want you to notice that name that God gives to His children here in these in Hebrews 11, that they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is part two to this message of strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that You'll speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you consider the different names of God's children that He gives to us in the pages of His Word, you get a glimpse into what God has done for us and for what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do in this world. Now, again, I would like to pause here and just say that when the Lord saves a wretched, hell-deserving sinner, He does a whole lot for that individual. As a matter of fact, we who've been saved should praise our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed Holy Spirit, who's been so good to us by delivering us from so many things. And in this name here, it's no different. That the Lord lets us look into His own mind, His own heart, and show us what He expects us to see ourselves as on planet Earth. He gives His children many names within Scripture, and this is one of those names, pilgrims, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, we've already talked about two of the three things. Let me just tap them on the head, and we'll pick up with major point number three. As you think of strangers and pilgrims on the earth, first of all, we've noticed our description. What's it mean to be a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth? And I just simply defined those words for you and said a few things. But a stranger is a foreigner, a guest, a person out of their own country. It's a person living in a land that's not his own, somebody who's not a permanent resident. The name pilgrim means a sojourner only for a time, not intending to take up residency in that place or even get naturalized in that country. A pilgrim is one who's passing through one place en route to another place. I've already preached on that. You can go back and get it. Secondly, we preached on our destination because a stranger and a pilgrim is simply passing through to another land. So we've already preached on our destination. The Word of God in verses 14 and 16 talks about they seek a country. In verse number 16, they desire a better country, a heavenly country. And we're talking about heaven as our destination. And let me say this to you. I've already preached on this, but when you start getting discouraged, just start thinking about your home and start thinking about your destination. This is a place where there'll be no devil, there'll be no death, there'll be no disappointment, no disease, no defilement, no darkness. And on we could go with that. But God the Father will be there. The Lord Jesus Christ will be there. Our brothers and sisters in Christ will be there. Our inheritance is there. And so on and so forth. Now, tonight I want to give you this simple thought. Not only do we see our description, our destination, but number three, I close with our duty. What is the duty of a pilgrim and a stranger on planet Earth? What does God expect His children to do since He gives us the name stranger and pilgrim on the earth? What does He expect out of us? What is our duty? Now, I'm reading from verses 14 to 16. "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Notice it says right here that they declare plainly they're seeking another country. They desire a better country. Now in this, I want to give you several things that we see as our duty for being a stranger and a pilgrim on planet Earth. If you've ever had the opportunity to meet someone from another culture, you soon recognize the fact that they think and act differently than you do. In other words, if we planted somebody from China in our midst, or we planted somebody from Japan in our midst, or Afghanistan in our midst, or whatever the case may be, we'll find out that they don't think like we do. They act different than we do. They speak different than we do. Well, as believers, we are supposed to think and act differently than the natives of planet Earth. Our new birth and our new nature are all products of heaven. And as a result, we are to be heavenly minded. Our legal status is in heaven. Man's laws and ways are lower than the standards that heavenly citizens are to live by. We should obey the laws of the land. But the law and will of God is far superior to that of this world. In other words, if we are truly heaven-born people, then we're to live like heaven-born people, friends. If we're on our way there because we're born of God, that's our destination, that's where our country is, that's where our city is, that's where we're headed, then we ought to live like it on planet Earth. We ought to live like where we're headed is what I'm trying to say. Everything we love is there. I'm talking about eternal things. Everything we cherish is there. Everything valuable is there. Everything eternal is there. And yet here we are in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the United States in this present time. And there are many of God's children who are indulging themselves in this alien land. Self-indulgent Christianity is the kind of Christianity that's lost its heavenly perspective. Strangers and pilgrims' duty, in a nutshell, and I'm going to give you three things here quickly, but strangers and pilgrims' duty is to live like they're on their way home. Live like they're on their way to heaven. Live like they are representing where they're going accurately. You know, it's got to be a stench in Almighty God's nostrils for God's children that He has called to be strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It's got to be a stench in His nostrils when His children take up residency here on planet Earth and start dressing like the world and acting like the world and smelling like the world and drinking what the world drinks and watching what the world watches and going where the world goes. That is not the will of God. It is God's will for God's children who are strangers and pilgrims on the earth to live like a Christian. And may I say this to you? We've all fallen short of that. Every one of us have displeased God in this. But may God birth something in our heart to say that's not your home. So stop acting like it. Don't listen to their music. Don't go to their places. Don't yoke up with them. Don't do that. Don't stay away from that. Live like you belong to me. This is the duty of a stranger and pilgrim, is to live like they're going home. Now, this being the case, let me give you three simple things tonight that if you're going to fulfill the duty of living like you're going to heaven, then there's going to be at least three things evident in your life. Number one, you will seek things from above. The Word of God even talks about they sought a better country. They seek a better country. They're seeking something better than this. They're searching for something better. They're seeking it. The Word of God says in Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, a traveler is not wont to rest in what he meets with, however comfortable and pleasing it is. When he's traveling on the road, going to a certain destination, he may stop in a comfortable place, but he's not really comfortable there because his mind is elsewhere. He's trying to get somewhere, you see. For instance, if you've ever been away from home and away from your spouse, whatever the case may be, somebody that you dearly love, it doesn't matter if it's for 2 days or 2 years. Now, What I'm talking about is, have you ever had a destination in mind, but you had to stop over somewhere on your way there? It could have been a beautiful place. You could have gotten lots of rest there, but you weren't really home there because you were seeking something other than that place. You're seeking that person that you want to so desperately see. You're seeking that home or your own bed. And no matter how comfortable it may get, no matter how nice it may be, that traveler's not really satisfied because he's seeking beyond that. May I say this to you? God help us to be children of God who never quite feel at home on planet Earth because we're seeking the one we love. Isn't there something inside of you as God's child that longs to see Jesus? That longs to step on that golden street? That longs to see the mansion He's been preparing for you? Isn't there something inside of a stranger and a pilgrim that, yes, that may be a comfortable place, or yes, I can find some rest here. Yes, I may. But no matter what that traveler experiences on his way to his destination is what his heart's set on. His destination is what he's seeking with all of his heart. He wants to get there, and nothing before he gets there quite satisfies him. We need Christianity like that. We need Christians that no matter how comfortable it may be on planet Earth, they're never quite all that comfortable here because they're seeking things above. May I challenge us all with something? Don't seek something that will vanish when the world burns up. There are so many, even some of God's children, who start seeking after that, seeking after this, seeking after that, and all the time it's they're seeking things below instead of seeking things above. Or is your heart set on eternal things? Or is your heart set on temporal things? See, if you obey and fulfill the duty of being a stranger and pilgrim on earth, you'll seek things above. All men have their pursuits. Let me say this to all of us. We all seek something. There's no middle ground here. There's no neutral ground here. You are seeking something. So am I. And what we're seeking is either eternal or it's temporal. That's it. Those strangers and pilgrims fulfilling their duty will seek things above. They'll set their heart on eternal things, and nothing down here will grab their attention to the point to where they become enthralled with it, entangled in it, engulfed in it, because they realize nothing on planet Earth will ever compare to where I'm headed. Amen or not tonight, friends. We are headed home. Let's live like it. Seek things above. Number two, this kind of right along with it, set affection on things above. This is, I've already been preaching along these lines, but let me just go a little bit further. Colossians 3, 2 and 3, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, we ought to be actively seeking those things above, but we also ought to set our affection on things above. That means our minds and our hearts should be firmly fixed on where Christ is now dwelling. We're to have our feet up on earth, but our head in heaven. That's what this sets your affection. Let me ask you a question. What consumes your thoughts? By the way, the greatest battle I fight is the battle for my mind. You may agree with that, with probably the greatest battle you fight too. But I want to ask us a question. What consumes our thought life? How much about heaven did you think today? How much about God did you, and I'm convicted. You know, my mind can get so distracted on things, thinking about that, and I got to get this done, I got to get this done. But let me ask you a question. I'm asking me. I'm just letting you listen in on what I'm asking myself. How much did I think about Jesus today? How much did I think about God today? How much did I think about heaven today? And what's waiting on me over there? Are you following me where I'm going here? It means it's on our mind. If we're really fulfilling our duty as a stranger and pilgrim on earth, we'll not only be seeking it, we'll be thinking about it. You got it? That sets your affection on it. Then number three, sacrifice ourselves. If we're going to fulfill our duty as a stranger and pilgrim on earth, we're going to seek things above. We're going to set our affection on things above, our minds, our hearts, and we're going to sacrifice ourselves. Matthew 16:24 then said Jesus, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. There's something here that says we should travel on in the way of obedience to all God's commands, even the difficult as well as the easy, denying all our sinful inclinations and interests. We must be content to travel uphill, though it be hard and tiresome and contrary to the natural bias of our flesh. We should follow Christ. We should take up our cross and follow Him in meekness and lowliness of heart, obedience and charity, diligence to do good, and patience under afflictions. The way to heaven is a heavenly life. If you're on your way to heaven, God saved your life, saved your soul, cleansed you in the blood of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean your life's going to be a cakewalk. Every now and then there's potholes on the road. Every now and then there's a bend in the road, a blind curve. Sometimes you might even fall off the road. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about the way there. It's not easy. But if we realize who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what comes our way, we'll never quit. And we'll constantly sacrifice ourselves for the glory of Almighty God. You know what the Christian life is? It's a life of sacrifice. Sacrifice the flesh to say yes to the Spirit of God. I make that decision multiple times in my life. Will I serve the flesh or will I serve the Spirit? You make that same decision multiple times throughout the day. And the next time you're tempted to give into the flesh, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit of God says, you're a stranger and pilgrim on earth. Don't forget it. You're a stranger and pilgrim here. Don't lose sight of it. This is not your home. Don't get too comfortable. You're headed to a better place. Don't settle for anything less. This is where we're going. And if you're going to do that, you're going to sacrifice yourself. You're going to live for God instead of your flesh. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims. Same phrase, strangers and pilgrims. I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from all fleshly lust, which war against the soul. In holiness, self-denial, mortification, obedience to all the commands of God, following Christ's example in a way of a heavenly life. We ought to be continually growing in holiness, is the point here. And in that respect, coming nearer and nearer to heaven, we should be endeavoring to keep near, I'm talking about to come nearer to heaven in being more heavenly, being more and more like the inhabitants of heaven in respect to our holiness and conformity to God, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping God's glory before us, the beauty of Christ, the excellency of divine things as we get nearer to the beautiful, beautiful shore. We should labor to be continually growing in divine love, that this increasing flame should just keep getting bigger and bigger in our hearts till it ascends wholly in that flame and we go to be with God. The point here is this. Every breath we breathe, we are getting closer home. Every moment we live, we're getting closer to that heavenly shore. You know, lately I've been getting touched and just thinking about what I'm preaching. And friends, There's not many things that will encourage your heart like thinking, I'm a little closer home. I'm closer home right now than when I first opened the Bible to preach to you tonight. I'm closer home right now than I was this time yesterday. I may be closer to home than anybody in this room, but I know this. The closer I get to home, the more I ought to be like Jesus Christ. I should not be becoming more and more like the world, but I should be becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And when I see myself as God calls me, you're a stranger and a pilgrim on earth, then no matter what the bells may be, no matter what the whistles may be, no matter what it looks like, how much comfort it may give me, how much pleasure it may give me, if it's not eternal, if it's not what God has on my plate, then if I see myself the way He calls me, I'm a stranger and pilgrim on earth, then that bell and whistle will, listen, it may call for me, but I'm not going to yield to it. Because I'm seeking what's above. I've got my affection on things that's eternal. And I'm sacrificing myself because I'm headed home. Let us live like it. Let us live like it. Now I want to ask you a question. When God looks at you and how you're living your life, can He honestly look at you? And I'm asking myself the same question. Can He look at me and say, He is fulfilling that name. He is truly living like a stranger on earth. He is truly living like a pilgrim on earth. Too many times I'm afraid I probably don't do that. But I want to. Your music, our attitude, our actions, where we go, how we speak, how we treat one another. Is it truly what a stranger and pilgrim on planet Earth does? Or are we selfish? Now the challenge tonight is live like a Christian. You're a stranger and pilgrim on Earth. That's what God calls you. Live like it. If something on planet Earth has a hold on you, ask God and His Holy Spirit to deliver you because that is temporary and it'll suck the life out of you and He wants you to be more like Him with every passing day. Until Jesus comes, we'll be a stranger and pilgrim in this world. And let us remember that we are surrounded by an alien culture that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And that needs to see His truth lived out in the lives of those who claim to know Him. You know, they used to encourage visitors to the national parks. When you visit a national park, they used to encourage visitors to leave them cleaner than you found them. Leave the park cleaner than you find it. And may I say this to you? We should seek to promote the culture of heaven in this world so much that when we leave it, it's a little cleaner than we found it. That includes our homes, our workplaces, our church, our world. What kind of effect am I having while I'm on planet Earth? I will not have any kind of effect that I can if I do not live like a stranger and a pilgrim on planet Earth. I'm headed home. Are you headed home? Say amen. Are you living like it? Or is there something that needs to be gone? Or something that needs to start? Because you want to give a right picture of where you're headed. That's the challenge for tonight, okay? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that You'll help us to obey the duty of being a stranger and pilgrim on earth. I do not want to let a Wednesday night or any service come and go without giving people an opportunity to respond. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, as they begin to play through softly, come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. If you've never trusted Christ, today is a day of salvation. But if you are saved, the invitation tonight is very simple. You say, I'm a Christian. Then here's what God calls you, a stranger and pilgrim on earth. Are you living like it? Are you living like it? And you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. And God is convicting me. Because there's something in my life that needs to change. Now that could be that there's something that you're not doing that you need to start doing, like read your Bible every day. But if there's something in your life that God is speaking to you about right now, and you say, God's telling me as a stranger and pilgrim, that needs to change. Have you have something like that? It could be positive or negative. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Be honest now. That's a lot of hands, a lot of hands. God bless you. My advice, don't kick against the pricks. Don't rebel. Let the Lord help you with it. Well, Brother Gary, just sing one verse. If God is speaking to you, I want to invite you to come. You don't have to come, but I want to invite you to come. As he sings, you come now. Would you do it?
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Amen. I'm going to have Brother Gary come. He's going to go over the missionary letters. Then I'll give some instructions for our prayer time tonight, okay?
I encourage you to take out your prayer sheet. There is a missionary section, and there's not a whole lot of space, but I would like you to write down some things specifically. We'll start with the Lawrence family. They're working in Romania, and January the 3rd, they turned over their work to a national pastor. They started that church 5.5 years ago, and Lord, praise the Lord, they now have a national pastor. They're moving on. So their big prayer request is where to start a new church. And let's pray for them that God would give them direction about where this new church. They met in a man's home and had 9 people there, so they may start to work there. And another couple has invited them out on Wednesdays to come over there. So again, our prayer request for the Lawrence family is where they should start a new church as they seek the Lord's will. The Mullins, of course, you know them, working in England. And our prayer request for them specifically tonight, they are in the middle of a winter retreat. It's going on right now. The dates for that are 15th through the 19th. And it's an event where they try to encourage young adults and older teenagers to live boldly for the Lord. So let's pray for this winter retreat that's going on right now in England. And then also they ask prayer for Camp Victory. There are some special things they need for that camp as they prepare for that 2 weeks, I assume, in the summertime. Finally, the Hendricks family, they are working in Ireland, and a couple requests for them. September of this year, they have to get new immigration papers, which is obviously a very big thing. Also, in the summer of 2016, they're having their second family camp. They're asking prayer for that. And then finally, they have 3 new families that are coming to work with them right now. And so let's pray for those new families as they come and help in that ministry. Another couple of things, they have a Sword Bible School, 15 to 20 children every Tuesday at the school. And then also, it's interesting, said we have the largest Sunday school in town. And then he said it's the only Sunday school in town. And praying God would build that up. And they asked specifically for us to pray for a man named Joe, who is coming to Sunday school about every Sunday, but as far as they know, he is not saved. So there's some prayer requests tonight for our missionaries, very specific things to pray for.
Thank you very much. Let me give you a few instructions and kind of what to expect a little bit, and then we'll break up into our group for tonight. I do want you to come expecting variety on Wednesday nights. We're going to be doing different things. Tonight we're going to break up in specific groups, and there's a leader over all of this. Let me just remind you of a couple of things. Do not expect that you're going to be forced to pray. Okay? What I mean by that is out loud. all right? Don't come intimidated. Are they going to call on me to pray? Oh, you know what I'm saying? That's not what this is, okay? But we want you to participate in these particular prayer meetings, because when somebody's praying out loud, hopefully you're praying right there silently in your group, begging God for some things. Just follow your leader. Every group that you will be with will have a leader over it. This time is not personal request time, okay? Because when we break up, we're trying to give you a good solid 15 minutes to pray, a good solid 15 minutes roughly. And we do not want to take time. How many of you have a prayer request and take it down? That's not the per. Do that in Sunday school, okay? You can give your personal prayer request to your Sunday school classes, all of that. This Wednesday night sheet meetings, it's about this prayer sheet here. I give instructions to the leaders about which section I want their group to pray for. And then they're going to take some liberty to mention maybe a special prayer request. For instance, like Charlie Moore, things like that. Your leader will do that for you. Every group will pray for the upcoming event. That's on the back cover here. Every group will pray for what the New Testament church prayed for here. Again, just follow your leader in this. Let me encourage you to use this prayer sheet throughout the week. Personally, I'm trying to add this to my prayer sheet. My prayer list, and I'm praying through this Wednesday to Wednesday, so to speak, but roughly through this prayer sheet as well. So just praying for these things throughout the week. And let me encourage you to be faithful on Wednesday nights. Thank you for being here. God bless you. We're going to have different groups. There's going to be deacon-led groups. You should be contacted by a deacon if you're on our church roster. If you're not on our roster, please get on one, because that'll be our way to stay in touch with you. We're going to sometimes break up into Sunday school classes and departments. Sometimes we'll break up all men, all women. Sometimes we'll stay in here and pray together, families together, couples together. We're just trying to keep it going, okay? Tonight, here are the groups. We're doing really good, and so on. If you are in your 20s and 30s, if you're a couple and one of you are like in your 30s, one of you's in your 40s, you just choose a group, okay? I don't want to split a couple up, all right? But if you're in your 20s and 30s, you're going to be with Brother Bob Mann tonight in the blue room, okay? 20s and 30s. That is your group. Would you raise your hand? Great. 20s and 30s, you'll be in the blue room with Brother Bob. 40s and 50s, you'll be with Brother Gary in the chapel, 40s and 50s. How many of y'all, that is you tonight. You're going to the chapel. Brother Gary is leading you tonight, okay? 6 and above, you are in the auditorium with me. I'm sorry, okay? But you're with me tonight. Have you all are 6 and above, would you raise your hand? God bless you for being here. Thank you for being here. You'll stay right here in the auditorium. So what we're going to do is this. If you're a teenager, go with your family, okay? Teenagers, go with your family tonight. And again, I do announce, if you're married and one of you are in one of those age brackets, the other's in the other, you just choose one, no problem, okay? Now, again, 20s and 30s, blue room, you are dismissed. 40s and 50s, chapel, you are dismissed. 60s and above, you're staying put. We'll have our prayer time right here, okay?